Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to At The Movies with me, Umar Paganampakepagan. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows is the second in what promises to be a long series of sequels to the Eastman and Laird comic books and cartoons of the 1980s and 90s. This time, the good guys Leo, Donnie, Ralph, Mikey, and Megan Fox's April O'Neil are joined by newcomer Casey Jones, played by TV's Arrow, Stephen Amell. Tyler Perry, Gary Anthony Williams, and Seamus round up the bad guys, playing Baxter Stockman, Bebop, and Rocksteady. So how was the movie? Well, joining me today is fellow film critic Ian McNally. There are so many things that should be wrong with this film, and yet I had such a good time.
I had a good time despite myself. I hated the first movie. I really didn't like it. This was just a lot of laughs all the way through. There's a lot of very just funny jokes, like irregardless of it being a Turtles movie or anything.
So here's the thing. I hated the first one as well, but I hated it for the very reason I like this one, which is I felt the first one wasn't absurd enough.
Mm.
In that I walk into a cinema and I see a poster that says Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I want ridiculousness.
Yes.
And then they try to keep it all dark and gritty and ninja.
Yeah.
And you know, fine, that's great. But there's a giant talking rat.
Yep.
Who sounds like Monk.
Yep. There's four turtles. Monk.
And there are four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And this time they've added roided to the mix as well.
And in this one, they decided to just throw everything out the window.
It feels like they went full cartoon.
Yes.
Even in the way an awful lot of the storylines resolve, a lot of them are like next time on. It almost sets it up for the next episode. They explain certain things. The things they don't explain are the clever things that they don't need to explain. Krang is coming to Earth. Why? Because he is. How do we find this out? Oh, Donatello hacked something and they found out when Shredder was escaping. Why is Shredder escaping? Because it's the next episode. He needs to escape so we can be in play again.
Exactly. That's exactly how every episode of the cartoon went.
Yeah.
Even the introduction of Krang, Commander Krang, played by Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, all the trailers made it look like it was going to be kind of, again, dark, gritty, more monstrous. It's a complete joke. In a good way.
Yes, absolutely. And so Shredder gets teleported and he's suddenly face to face with Krang. And this is what I love. Who are you? It doesn't matter. You've got all your goo all over me, but let's partner up and take over the planet.
That was kind of gross.
So the other important point to note, this movie starts and it doesn't stop.
No.
There is absolutely zero setup time. Even if there is, it's like a minute.
Yeah.
And then it's just action, action, move the plot along. No time for brooding.
Yeah.
Let's just get this over it. What, you're in Brazil? Kaboom, a giant tank.
Yes.
Boom. And yeah, I mean, it just keeps moving.
Yeah. It's fun. That keeps the fun level up. It doesn't, nothing overstays its welcome.
Which is why it doesn't feel like a 2-hour movie, which it is.
Yeah.
I was expecting 90 minutes.
That did have a problem near the end, though, where the big fight, which a little bit like the first one as well, where they had the fight with Shredder, that felt like a bit more of an actual climax fight. There's a fight here and it kind of just, expect it to be one more thing.
Yes.
You expect like the villain to strike back one more time and there to be a bit more of a battle
or a cool shot. Yeah. Yes.
Or he's behind you moment. And that doesn't happen. It's just like literally next time gadget.
And I think that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
I would have liked a little bit more of a, you know, we're going to have to wait another 2 or 3 years till we get the next one. So
oh,
I would have liked
a bit more of a climax. That's a good point. You know, if they do it well, they could probably churn one of these out every year.
Yeah.
I don't know if the market will handle that.
No.
I don't know if the market can cope with anything quite like it, but it'll be a perfect example of serialized storytelling where it's just like next week on Ninja Turtles, next June on Ninja Turtles
exactly.
3. Yeah. So what do you think happened with this film, man? I mean, I'm watching this movie and I'm thinking, I think they finally sat down and they went, who is our target demographic? What are we making a Ninja Turtles movie for? One, we're making it for the fans of the cartoons and the comics. And two, we're actually making it for kids.
I think they got it right this time. The first time it was very much the turtle characters were right. The actual characters, not the actual look of the characters. Whereas everything around them was awful. In this, they've kind of expanded that out so that they mesh more with the world around them. And even, I think even the design of the characters, the CGI characters, the camera's not, camera work's not as frenetic around them. And they're not all talking over each other all the time, which was a huge annoyance for me in the first one. Remember the first one when Shredder and Splinter first meet? Even though they've never met before, there seemed to be a real moment of trying to have your cake and eat it and say, like, these are two legendary heroes facing off. But in this story, they've never met before.
Well, they never met before. And also...
Splinter was a rat. He wasn't a human before.
He wasn't a human before that, right?
So they were trying to imply this back history that wasn't there.
And you also had to assume that Splinter was awesome.
Yeah. So, whereas in this one, it's like, no, we'll just actually go comic book. We'll just do it. We'll just do what was in the cartoon because it makes sense. It made sense then. It makes some sense now.
It does. It does. And I think that's what I enjoyed most about this version of Ninja Turtles, in that I've been saying this a lot lately, but this feels like a movie out of the 90s.
Yeah. It feels like what we would have gotten in the 90s if the effects and budget were available
back
then.
Correct. But the way the story was paced, the way the scripting was done, that's what makes it feel like a 90s flick.
Well, all those kids from the 80s and 90s have grown up now and they're working behind the camera, so that's to be expected.
And is that the problem, though, in the sense that I don't know if I'm looking at it thinking, oh my God, I grew up watching this as a kid and now I'm seeing it in real life. Because the 90s Turtle movies were fun and crazy. But at the same time, they couldn't do what you wanted them to do.
I don't know, because I think this movie still stands, like, regardless of the nostalgia factor, there's just funny things going on in this. Every time Tyler Perry's on screen, it's hilarious, regardless of what he's doing.
Well, he is Baxter Stockman.
Yeah. I mean, he's replaced my Baxter Stockman in my head now. He just seems to just be this giggling manic energy whenever he's on the screen, and it just perfectly suits what's going on in the movie. The Bebop and Rocksteady's introduction... even when they're not in their Rhino and Warthog forms, they're still funny. They could have been intensely annoying because the characters got kind of annoying over the course of the cartoon, I think, back in the day. Whereas in this, they're funny throughout. And that can be something that, I think it was the Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, where they introduced some new mutants that just didn't work out at all, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is amazing that they actually just got a completely, the tone is right for them.
The action sequences, the set pieces, they were all really, really cool. I swear to God, throughout the whole movie, I was just thinking, the Lego sets of this is going to be really, really cool.
And when we get to the climax, there's a set at the climax we won't mention, spoil what it is, but because I think a lot of the enjoyment is, oh, they're really doing this. They're actually going whole hog on this story, and we're seeing something that we would not expect to see in these movies.
And also, that's exactly what they did. They introduced all of these other characters. They brought in Casey Jones, which we've seen in the cartoons.
That was a slight downer for me because I just keep thinking, why is the Arrow in this? why is he roller skating down the street now?
Right, yeah. So Casey Jones is played by Stephen Amell, and he is, of course, the Arrow.
Yeah.
He's not as cool as the Arrow.
No.
But you're right. We have kind of settled into his role in that character, and we're expecting that because it's very similar. He's a vigilante in this one as well.
And he just looks like Oliver Queen. Like, he's the haircut's the same and everything. Was it? He had, like, long stringy hair, which I think is more of a callback to the comics as well.
Yeah.
So if they put him in a wig, maybe it might have helped. But as it was, he just, like, there's, especially when the Arrow tries to do, when he's trying to be happy when sad things are going on in his life, that's the role he's playing throughout this. It's just like, nothing against Stephen Amell, but it does make him seem like a two-note actor, unfortunately.
Megan Fox is, well, Megan Fox. Yeah. She doesn't actually do much other than wear tight jeans and run around.
Yeah, it's more about the Turtles this time.
It is really about the Turtles.
And Will Arnett.
And Will Arnett, right? So the story starts off with Will Arnett's character taking credit for saving the world. And that was the deal he struck with the Turtles.
So Which is perfect for a Will Arnett character. That's exactly. You can imagine Job from Arrested Development doing this.
He is now called the Falcon.
Yeah.
With a great name. And what he does is he's the celebrity. He's on the cover of Time magazine. And of course, the bulk of this story is about the fact that the Turtles are still in the shadows. And they're struggling with the fact that they're not human. And they're struggling with the fact that the world would see them as monsters.
Yeah.
And so that was a nice undertone that we didn't necessarily get with the cartoon. It was in the comic books.
Certain parts. There's a lot in the comic books.
There's a lot in the comic books. But in the cartoons, you know, they kind of... It was a bit too heavy for kids in the cartoons. But what I liked about that storyline was that it wasn't overplayed, in that there were moments, minute moments of drama where the brothers would fight.
Yeah.
But they didn't dwell on it. Because the last thing I want to see is another...
Mopey Turtles.
Raphael's gone rogue and mopey and by himself again. And now they've got to pull everything back together.
Well, they are teenagers. There should be a lot more door slamming in this. I mean, but I think that's where you talked about the cartoon or comic book logic earlier. That's one element thread that they didn't treat that lightly. That was given the time it needed to breathe. Whereas some of the more ludicrous plot elements are just like, okay, we're doing this because we are. But they left that kind of relationship between the brothers breathe a lot more.
Did you feel that lots of stuff was left on the cutting room floor? In that I felt there was very, very little splinter in this one. I don't know if that was intentional or whether they just felt, actually, he's not moving the plot along, so we'll cut out all of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because there's some, you know, continent hopping and stuff. There's a lot going on in this movie. I felt like the first movie, I don't know whether it's been confirmed or not, whether William Fichtner was supposed to be Shredder or not, but it did seem that there was a lot of frantic reorganizing that went on in that film. This just, I felt it like, felt like there's nothing missing. It feels like a piece. You know, it runs all the way through. The fact that Donatello's first time on screen, he just says, "I failed instantly," you know, it's fantastic. As of course, that nails the character straight away, like minor setback, and he's already like moping about it. But it just felt like everything fit. There was no missing pieces of this jigsaw.
Speaking of the casting fiasco, they had two extra Asian women in this movie. One played the assistant to Laura Linney's commissioner mm-hmm. character, and the other played Shredder's assistant.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I don't remember them saying a single word.
No, Laura Linney referred to one at one point. Like she said, like, get on the phone or, oh, don't tell anyone else outside the police this.
That's right. It. But they never say anything.
No.
I think it was a union thing. Maybe they just couldn't afford to pay them.
I have no idea. But I think it was Jade. Someone was called Jade or something like that at one point. I thought that was a tie back to the comics or something. Or maybe they're building stuff for later. Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, this feels like the beginning of another endless Michael Bay franchise.
Maybe. But I think that this course corrected from the first one a lot better. I mean, it still has another, you know, Transformers 2, 3, and 4. The first Transformers movie was actually, I found it quite enjoyable.
I did too.
It was the other ones that were awful. This went is going the other way, where the first one was awful and now, you know, huge smash commercially. But this one seems to have course corrected and fixed the problems I had with it. And if it can stay on this path, I'd be more than happy.
I'm more than happy for them to keep making movies like this. Yeah. I want more movies like this one. I want movies that are completely mindless cartoon entertainment. What? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That is what I want to pay my dollar for when I go into a summer popcorn flick. This is the very definition.
It's fun of
a summer popcorn movie.
I was smiling and laughing throughout this movie, and that's a surprise. No one was more surprised than I was.
Yeah, so was I. I cannot tell you how much I despised that first movie, and only because I found it so boring.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that was a bit of a downer was the music. Mm. The music was very standard action movie fare, the unused tracks from Transformers.
I thought it opened strong, but then very much went into the swelling beats of the Transformers theme. The Transformers theme itself, there's a very set rhythm to it.
It was also used in Battleship.
Yes.
It was the same music.
It's that rousing, we're getting stuff ready music.
Correct.
And that plays, it kicks in about halfway through and then doesn't stop.
And they have a new version of the Ninja Turtles theme song at the end for the end credits.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no idea why they didn't just use that
throughout.
You finally made a cartoon movie. And I don't know why the music doesn't quite line up. The music almost takes itself a little too seriously for the conversation, the ridiculous action, giant manhole covers flying out the front of a garbage truck.
And they're guided manhole covers. And I mean, that the garbage truck is like what you would want the toy to look like from the old cartoon. And when it comes to the audio cues,
dude, there are giant cranes that come out with massive nunchucks.
But there's audio cues too as well. Do you notice that as well? There's callbacks to like the old theme tune music.
Yes.
There's like someone's ringtone, is it? When a computer finishes, it plays songs like that. They say Turtle Power at one point.
April says Cowabunga.
Yeah.
It is a very homage-y film.
Yes, but in a good way, not slavishly and not too, you know, over the top.
No. And somehow, I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if it's just me and youthful nostalgia, but it gets pulled off. When they do those things, when they shout Turtle Power, when they do Cowabunga, it doesn't feel cheesy.
It's not cringeworthy. If you grew up watching the cartoons and you want to share this with your kids, this is perfect way to get, this is the turtles you've always had in your head that was never quite realized.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, is that the characters are actually a lot more distinguishable now.
Yeah. Did they even visually do something? Because Donatello's
slightly
smaller. Donatello's slightly smaller.
Raphael's huge.
Really huge.
Yeah. So it looks like they've defined the characters out a lot more. So they're not just distinguishable by the color of their mask, which is what the cartoon was and even the 90s film was.
Yeah.
There was no real, they were all wearing the same rubber suits
and
they just had different color bandanas.
But their actual facial features and stuff are identifiable now as well. I think it's maybe we've just gotten used to the idea of these scary, huge turtles now. But I think the camera work helped that as well. It's not as frenetic. I mean, when the movie started, there's a scene at a basketball game and that, I was like, oh God, is the whole movie going to be like this? Because it was like the first one where they're all talking over each other, the camera's spinning around them as they're doing acrobatics. And I was like, I don't want to watch this. It's giving me a headache. But then it settled down and the camera started looking at them as characters in a room talking to each other. And that actually worked out really well, because then you can see what's going on. You can actually identify the characters. You couldn't really tell the differences between them last time because they were so speedily shot by.
Both Ian and I highly recommend you go watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, or Ninja Turtles 2,
Cowabunga,
if you want to call it. Watch it and let us know what you think. Are you a fan of the original TV series? You can tweet me at UmaPagan or at the movies MY. You can tweet Ian at
McNasty Prime. That's MCNASTY Prime.
You've been listening to At the Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.